Genesis chapter number 12. This passage describes the call of Abraham. It's a tremendous passage of Scripture. It is a passage that defines the nation of Israel and the people of God, the Jewish people. By the way, the Jewish people are still God's people. And a lot of people have tried to deny that. America needs to stay away from trying to give Israel's land away. That's Israel's land. God gave it to them. Amen. And just a little note, every time we give land away or negotiate land away for Israel, judgment comes upon America. And I would just encourage you to pray for our politicians and pray for John Kerry, who is leading the latest negotiation on land for peace deal. It has never worked. Every time they've given more land away, there is more bloodshed. And the factions that are over there, the militant Muslims, are not going to be happy until Israel is wiped off the face of the earth. But I've got news for them. That's not going to happen according to the Word of God. And God's Word is going to go ahead and prevail, and God's plan is going to be seen through. We find in Genesis chapter number 12 that this is the call of Abraham. And I want you to notice what it says in verse number 1 through verse number 7. It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into the land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation. I'll make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all the nation, or all the families of the earth be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all the substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and in the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto a place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And notice verse number 7 and verse number 8. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, "Unto thy seed will I give this land." And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. The Bible says, "And there he builded an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord." I want you to notice in verse number 7 and verse number 8, it says, and there he builded an altar unto the Lord. You know, there's two things that I normally will misplace in my life. I misplace my car keys and I misplace my glasses. And many times I will ask my wife, I'll say, "Honey, have you seen my keys?" And she will say, "Well, they're just right over there." Or I'll say, "Have you seen my glasses? I've looked all over for my glasses." Sometimes it's like this. I'll say, and she'll say, "They're on top of your head, you know." And I'll say, "But no, seriously, I said, where have you seen my glasses?" And she'll say, sometimes a little bit of disgust, "They're right where you put them, you know." And she'll say, "They're right over there." We need to understand that there is always about a location. It's always about a place. A while back, I was in my car and I was driving through just north of Faustoria, where I grew up, and I drove down the road that my mom and dad lived on, and down the road east of them, about 2 miles, there is a place in the road, a very memorable place in the road for me because when I was 17 years old, I hit that road at about 70 miles an hour and slid after I wrecked my motorcycle for almost a quarter of a mile. And every time I go by there, I see this sign, and right where my bike laid down and right where my bike ended up, I remember vividly rolling down that road and sliding down that road for nearly a quarter of a mile. It happened as I drove by. I thought it happened right there. As I turned the corner and went around the corner and went down about another half a mile, I looked down and I saw the spot about a half mile where I wrecked my bike. My brother was killed on his motorcycle about 5 years later. And I thought to myself, my oldest brother, right there, he went out into eternity. You see, we need to understand that the Bible has every word there for a reason. And it may seem insignificant, the word and, or the word the, or the word there. But every word is in the Word of God for an exact reason. And sometimes we'll read right over the words that are in the Bible and we'll fail to realize their significance. As I said, every word is there for a reason. So today I want you to look at that word there, and I want you to see the significance of that word. It's really important. You see, if I was there, I would not have lost my glasses. And if I was there, I would have known where my keys were at. And if I would not have been there, I would not have wrecked my motorcycle when I was 17 years old. I'm here to tell you there's something about the place where God wants us to understand. And here we find that the Lord called Abram, and there he built an altar under the Lord who appeared unto him. And he went between Bethel, and the word Bethel means the house of God, and Ai. And if you remember from Joshua chapter number 7, that was the place that they were defeated because Achan had ended up stealing the things that pertained unto God as they crossed in over into the promised land. And so here he built an altar. And so this morning, as we look at the text, in verse number 7 and 8, there was a particular place, that God met with Abram. It wasn't just anywhere. It was there. And there is a particular place that God wants to meet with you. It is not just anywhere you choose. It is a place that God has chosen. A place to put His name there. And this morning I'd like to share with you just four thoughts about being there. I want you to notice, first of all, in verse number 7 and 8, as God spoke to Abram, the word there is about a place, but it is a place of divine promise. It is a place of divine promise. And God has a divine promise that He wants to give to each and every one that walked through the doors this morning. He says, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. God wants to give each and every one of you divine eternal life. That is a free gift from God, amen? And He wants you to have that. But I want you to notice, as Abraham had to come to a place of divine promise, so we also must come to the place of divine promise. You say, well, how did he get there to that place of divine promise? Many times we want the promises of God, but we don't want the things that go along with them. Isn't that true? How many of you today would like to have the blessings of God in your life? Amen? I think probably everybody does. Now, how many of you are really willing to do what it takes? Amen? You see, that's the harder part. We all want the blessings of God, but do we really want to do what it takes in order to have the blessings of God on our life? You see, there is a place of divine blessing this morning. And I want you to notice verse number 7 and 8. It says, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto thy seed will I give this land. And there he built an altar unto the Lord. Listen. How did he get to that place? How did he get to the place of divine promise? Verse number 1 through verse number 3, it tells us that he listened to the Word of God. He listened to the Word of God, and now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house and the land that I will give, that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Listen, the Bible tells us that he listened to the Word of God. Look at verse number 4. So Abram, what? He departed. He was in the Ur of Chaldees. He was in the Fertile Crescent. He was in an area that was known as the cradle of civilization. It was the area that was between the Tigris and the Euphrates River, commonly referred to the place as where Adam and Eve and the Garden of Eden was, according to the Scripture. And this was a very prosperous, a very lush area, and he left his comfort zone to follow God. And sometimes we have to get out of our comfort zone and just go ahead and do what God wants us to do instead of going ahead and relying on what we want to do. We find that he came to the place of divine promise. First of all, he came there because he listened to the Word of God, verse 1 through 3. Verse number 4, he departed and he left his family. He left to the comforts of home in order to follow God. How did he get to the place where the Lord appeared unto him? How did he get to the place of divine promise? Not only did he listen to the Word of God, he also left his family, but he came to the promised land. Look at verse number 6 of this passage. In verse number 6 it says, so Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, or Moriah, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And verse number 7, and the Lord appeared to Abram. We need to understand that it was a place of divine promise. He came to that promised land. And we find that because of that, God promised that he would become a great nation. He'd be the father of the Jewish nation. Not only was he the father of the Jewish nation, but Abraham is also the father of all the Arabic people. And so he became the father of many nations. And through him we find that the lineage of the Savior came and the Lord Jesus Christ was born because of Abraham and his faithfulness, or should I say that Jesus Christ's lineage came through Abraham. God met with him. Why? Why did God meet with Abraham? Because he was there. He was right where God told him to be. And so many times we miss the promises of God because we fail to be where God wants us to be. What about you? In your life, are you exactly where God wants you to be? Are you in the place where God can bless you? God has given us His Word. And God has told us how we should live and what we should do and what we should apply to our life. But the question is this morning, are we right there? Or have we gone our own route? And have we done our own thing? Do you really think that God would have blessed Abram if Abram would have been disobedient to His Word? If Abram wouldn't have followed God, and if Abraham would have not have followed those things that God had said, would have God blessed him and promised him and kept His promise to him? No. You see, there was a condition to that. And the condition for God's divine promise was this. You follow me. And I'm here to tell you, I think everybody wants God's blessing upon our lives. But are we willing to be at the place where God will bless? As a child of God, you need to search through this book. And you need to find out what God blesses and where God blesses. And there, just jump in the middle. And you're going to find the blessings of God overflowing in your life. I want you to notice the second thing. Not only was it a place of divine blessing, but it was also a place of divine supply. Let's go on and let's look at the life of Abraham a little bit in Genesis chapter number 22. Now we find that as he journeyed, and he journeyed all over from all over the Middle East area, he went down into Egypt because there was a famine, and then he came back into to the Promised Land again. And we find that through the course of time, God spoke to him, and he says, I want you to take thy son, thine only son Isaac, and I want you to give him to me as a burnt offering, as a sacrifice unto the Lord. Now, you know, I love my kids and I love the Lord, but I hope the Lord would never tell me, I want you to offer up one of my kids, or one of your kids as a sacrifice. That'd be a hard thing for anybody to do. Amen. And so Abraham, he believed God. Genesis 15:6 says, and Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. And he acted upon what God said. And so he went ahead and took Isaac. And now at this point in time, according to chronology, some people believe that Isaac could have been close to 30 years old. And Abraham was right around 100. Now you think about that for a minute. Most 30-year-olds would not have any trouble subduing a 100-year-old man. I believe that Isaac was willing to follow the instructions of his father. And so we find that Isaac said, you know, here's the altar and here is the wood and here's the fire, but where is the lamb that's going to be for the sacrifice? And it says in Genesis chapter number 22, and let me turn there. In verse number 8, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they both went. They went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abram built an altar there. There. He built an altar there. And the Bible tells us in the next few verses how that he bound Isaac, he placed him upon the altar, he raised up his knife and he was ready to slay his son, and as his hand was coming down to thrust it into his own son, the angel of the Lord stopped him and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, lay not any harm to thy son. We find that Abraham looked up. And we find in verse number 13, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. You know, that is a perfect picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he did for you. The Lord Jesus Christ was offered up in the stead or in the place of the sinner. You and I, we should have been crucified because of our sin. We should have suffered and died because we are a wicked sinner and really we deserve to die and go to hell. But God loved us so much that He was willing to send His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and die in our place. And He offered Him up in our stead. And here we find that He saw this ram and He offered Him up in the stead of His Son. Look at verse 14. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. It was right there he built an altar. And it was right there he went to offer up his son. And it was right there that he called the place Jehovah Jireh. And the word Jehovah Jireh means this: the Lord provides because He sees and foresees. And the Lord foresaw the need in Abraham's life. And He said, you know what? I saw the need in his life, and so therefore I'm going to provide for him even before the need is there. And before the foundation of the world was ever formed, God looked ahead in time and He saw when man was going to go ahead and be made, and He saw when man was going to sin against God, and He said, you know what? There's going to be a need for a Savior to be born. And the Bible says that He foresaw Jesus Christ as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. You see, Jehovah Jireh, at that place, the Lord sees and the Lord foresees. We need to understand it as a place of divine supply. Abraham was commanded to take Isaac to Mount Moriah and offer it before God. Abraham saw the need of the sacrifice, or God saw the need of the sacrifice, and God provided for it. Listen, there is times in our life when we need divine supply. And God provided divine supply for our salvation. Why? Because we were at the place, we were right where God wanted us to be, and God spoke to our hearts and brought us to Him. I look back in my life and times when God has supplied for me. The other day I was driving the van. I had to drive it up to Toledo, and all of a sudden the engine started sounding like a sewing machine, and I thought, I'm in trouble. I'm 20 miles from home, and I checked the oil, and the oil was fine, and I thought, I'm really in trouble. The oil gauge dropped down to actually below zero, and I thought, I'm really in trouble. I said, the engine's toast already. I hope I can just make it home. And so I'm driving it back and got back to Oak Harbor. Praise the Lord, got it back. I called the repair guy, and he says, well, just limp it in. He says, it's probably already gone. So he says, yep, preacher, the engine's gone. He says, there's nothing you can really do about it. I says, well, you think you can change oil pump? He says, well, you can change oil pump, but it's still going to be bad. He says, there's all kinds of metal shavings and hunks of metal down inside the oil pan. He says, it's gone. I says, okay. But you know what? I'm so glad that he got me back to Oak Harbor. I'm glad that God supplied the need for us. I'm glad that there's been times in my life when the Lord has just taken care of things. Whether it was in Bible college or here at the church, God always meets the need. Amen? God always takes care of us. And you know what? We worry about stuff and we fret about stuff. They say that they've done a survey. They say that 95% of the stuff we worry about never happens. Statistically. But I'm glad that the Lord provides. And I'm glad that He gives us what we need during the times of need. You see, He did that because I was there. I was trying to follow God and do what God wanted me to do, and so therefore God supplied my needs, supplied my necessities. I remember one time we were in Bible college and we had no food whatsoever. And I said, Lord, I said, you know, you brought us down here. You need to take care of us. And all of a sudden I get a phone call and said, hey, there's somebody out there messing with your car. And he hung up. And I thought, what? It was late at night. I open up the front door and there's a note on the front door that says, roses are red, violets are black. You better watch out or I might be back. And I thought, what? And I opened up the paper and there was a $20 bill. I thought, well, praise the Lord. Come back wherever you're at, you know. And I was able to put a little bit of gas in my car. That's when gas was not $3 a gallon or $3.50 a gallon. And a couple dollars would get you a long ways. And we were able to get a couple things at the grocery store to hold us through. You see, God provides. Amen. God provides for us. You see, if we really want to be at the place of divine supply, we need to be right where God wants us to be. And Abraham was right where God wanted him to be. He says, I want you to notice what it says in Genesis chapter number 22. Look at verse number 1. It says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. He said in verse 2, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there. You see, there was a particular place, and because he was willing to be there, God supplied his need. But many times we're saying, you know what, Lord, I want you to supply my need for this situation, but I'm not willing to be there. I'm not willing to be in church, and I'm not willing to be in prayer, and I'm not willing to be in the Word of God, and I'm not willing to be there witnessing to other people. I'm not willing to be where you want me to be, Lord, but Lord, I want you to supply my need. It doesn't work that way. And God wants you to be exactly where He wants you to be so that He will go ahead and supply your need that He's already foreseen. Go over to the New Testament. Look at Matthew chapter number 18. I want you to notice what Jesus said to His disciples And you remember there is about a location. It was a place of divine promise for Abraham. It was a place of divine supply for Abraham and Isaac. But it is also a place of divine fellowship. It is a place of divine fellowship. The choir sung that song this morning, "Where No One Stands Alone." I'm glad the Bible tells us that in this world we do not have to be alone. There are times in your life when you may feel that everybody has forsaken you and nobody understands, but I'm here to tell you today, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says He will never leave you nor forsake you. He will always be there for you and He'll always be there with you. And I want you to notice what it says there in Matthew chapter number 18. And look at verse number 19. Jesus said, "Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." The Bible says, where two or more are together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. There is about a place. And we want God to be with us. We want His presence to walk with us and overshadow us. But the Bible tells us that there is a place of divine fellowship. He said, "There I am in the midst of them." Look over at John chapter number 20, and I want you to notice something. In John chapter number 20, and verse number 19, we find that the disciples, after the resurrection of Christ, were meeting together in an upper room. And as they were meeting in the upper room, one of them decided not to show up. His name was Thomas. And it says in John chapter number 20, in verse number 19, "Then the same day at even, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when He had so said, He showed unto them His hands and His side." Now notice the response. "Then were the disciples" what? Glad. They saw the resurrected Savior. They saw the holes in His hands and they saw the holes in His side and they saw that He was alive. "Then Jesus said unto them, Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when He had said this, He breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus," that word Didymus means twin, he was a twin brother of someone, "called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came." You see the problem with Thomas when they all met together? He wasn't there. He wasn't there. I wish I had a dollar for every time someone would come to me and said, "Preacher, I wish you would preach on," and then they tell me the topic or the subject. "You know, I haven't heard you preach on this message for such a long time." And usually my response was, "I just preached on that last Sunday night." Or, "I preached on that 3 weeks ago on a Sunday morning." "Oh, but you weren't there. And you missed it. And Thomas was not there, so therefore he missed the divine fellowship and the divine commissioning on the disciples to preach the Word of God to the lost world." Why? Because he found something better to do. You know, I'm here to tell you, the greatest thing that you can do is be in the house of God. Amen? It is a place of divine fellowship. For Jesus said, "Where two or more are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." There is no promise like that when you go to the mud hens. Amen? By the way, I think they're in last place. And I'll guarantee you, if you're a Cleveland Indians fan, there is no promise of divine fellowship if you go watch the Indians. They're really in need of a lot of prayer. But I'm here to tell you, the Bible talks about in the house of God, God promises His presence. I've heard people say, well, you know, preacher, I just like to see a service where the power of God comes down. And there are a lot of times they show up maybe once a month, once every other month, or maybe they're just C&E Christians. Everybody knows what a C&E Christian is? Christmas and Easter. A pastor one time got up after Christmas and he said, I'd like to wish you all a Happy New Year. And everybody just kind of looked at him. He says, well, I'd like to wish you a happy New Year because I probably won't see you again until Easter, so I thought I'd get that in there. I'm here to tell you, there is about a place of divine fellowship. Have a troubled home? Maybe you need to be there. Having trouble with your family? Having trouble with your children? Maybe you need to be in the house of God and be there. That way you can have divine fellowship. Having trouble with finances? Maybe you need to be there and follow God. Be where God wants you to be. Are you burdened with sorrow? Overcome with the things of this world? Then go to the place where God is at. He promises divine fellowship where two or more are gathered together. And if you read that passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter number 18, it's talking about the local church. In the previous verses, he's talking about how that if you have somebody that has a fault, go to him. And if he doesn't listen, take two or three witnesses. And if he doesn't listen, then go take it before the church. It's talking about local church government. If you want to have divine fellowship, don't be like Thomas. Be there. Look at John 14, and I'm going to close. John chapter number 14. The word there in the Bible not only describes a place of divine promise and a place of divine supply and a place of divine fellowship, but a place of divine eternity. Jesus said to the disciples just hours before He was crucified, He said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You see, the Bible tells us that where Christ is, there we can be too. There is about a place of eternity. It is a real place. It is a real location. In My Father's house are many mansions. Heaven is as real as Oak Harbor, Ohio. As real as Toledo. Or as real as Chicago. As real as any other city on the face of the earth. It's real. And He's gone to prepare a place for us. This past week we were down at the Creation Science Museum down in Kentucky. And they had some beautiful, beautiful gardens down there. Banana trees growing up all over the place. These huge, big leaf trees and just flowers all over the place. And they had this little rapid type waterfall stream coming down through it. We got some pictures taken and I thought, man, this is beautiful. It must have took them years to create all that stuff. And then I look out at the world. And this world is really the nature and everything is beautiful. You look at some of the places around the world, just breathtaking. I remember years ago, my wife and I, we went over to Niagara Falls and looked at that and the power of the falls there. Beautiful. Driving up through the Mackinac and crossing over the bridge there at the Straits, and you see the power of all those great lakes coming together, and it's just absolutely breathtaking. God took 6 days to create this world. You say, well, that's six time periods. It really took millions and billions of years. No, it took 6 24-hour days. And by the way, which would bring God more glory? Which would bring God more glory? Using millions and billions of years or 6 24-hour periods? I think it would take 6 24-hour periods to bring God glory. Amen? And by the way, if it took millions and billions of years, those poor critters that were created on the third and the fourth day, what did they eat? Because they depended on the fifth day in order to have food. Amen? Anyway, I'd encourage you to study all that out. It is a real place. If God only took 6 days to create this world, He's been spending almost 2,000 years preparing you a home in heaven. What do you think it's going to be like? No wonder the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse number 9 that eye hath not seen nor ear heard nor is entered into the heart of men the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. Heaven's going to be a wonderful place. It's going to be a place filled with glory and grace. Amen. There we're going to see our loved ones, and there we're going to hear the angels sing again. There we're going to walk down the streets of gold, and there no sin is ever going to enter in. There's never going to be a drive-by shooting or a drug deal that's passing by on the streets of glory. Amen. It is a real place. It is a real destination. Jesus said that where I am, there ye may be also. Many times we just miss a little word. And we read it in our Bible and we'll just kind of read over a word. And I believe every word is there for a reason. And I don't think anybody has the right to change the words. God has given us His Word for a reason. Some of these new versions, I call them perversions, they change the word mansion to the word rooms. My Father's house are many rooms. You can have a room if you want. I want a mansion. Amen? Now, this is the way my brain works. When I think of a room, I think of a cubicle. And when I think of a cubicle, I think of these places that sit in a graveyard, these stackable graves, you know, the mausoleums. And they just open up a door, they slide you in, they close the door, that's it. That's a room. I'm not looking for a room, amen. I'm looking for a mansion. I don't want a little cubicle. I don't want a little slot they're going to shove me in for the rest of eternity. I want a mansion. Amen. You see, many times the child of God misses the blessings of God because they're not at the place where God can bless them. They're not where God wants them to be. Do you want God to answer prayer? Then you need to be at the place where God can answer prayer. You say, what place is that? First of all, it's the place of salvation. In John 9:31, the Bible tells us, this man said, we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth His will, him God heareth. You want to go ahead and have God hear your prayers? You make sure, first of all, you're saved. You need to be at the place of salvation, but also you need to be at the place of sanctification. In Psalm 66, verse number 18, it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The Bible tells us in Psalm 101, verse number 3, I will set no wicked things before my eyes, that which is evil shall not cleave unto me. We need to be at the place of sanctification in our life. If we want God to hear and answer our prayers, if we want God to be with us and we want God to be at the place of divine supply for us, we need to live a holy life and a sanctified life. In Psalm 4 and verse number 3, know ye that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. We need to be at the place of service. You want your children to be saved? You want your family to be saved? Then you need to be at the place of service. Bring your children to Christ. He says, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. But too many people are too busy with all their toys to be concerned about the things of God. You know, there's nothing wrong with having things. The problem is where things have us. And all of a sudden we're so busy with things. Brother Eric told me about an illustration they had on Clyde radio channel this morning. I didn't get a chance to hear it, but I'll relate it the best I can do that he related it to me. There was one man that said to another one, I'm going to give you, for $1,000, I'm going to give you as much land as you can walk off in an 8-hour period. He says, wow, that's great. So the guy says, you ready? He says, yep. So man, he took off. And for 8 hours, he was walking as fast as he could. And all of a sudden, he looked at his watch. He realized how far away he was from where he started. He says, I'm going to have to run. And he says, the deal is, he said, if you don't make it back in exactly 8 hours, you'll lose your $1,000. You'll lose all opportunity for land. So this man is running as hard as he can to get back, and he gets back to the very spot. He falls over dead with a heart attack. And he got his land about 6 foot deep, about 4 foot wide, and about 8 foot long. And he had that land, and that's all he had. I'm here to tell you, we need to go ahead and do all that we can to serve God. And we need to forget about all the toys of this life. For what should it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You want your children to be saved? You want your needs to be met? You need to be at the place of service and the place of sacrifice. And serve God with all your heart. You see, you need to be there. There is about a place. And if we want God to bless us, we need to be in the place right where God wants us to be so God can bless us. May I just remind you, even though, and don't get me wrong, God's everywhere, but the place of God's blessings is not at the casino. And the place of God's blessings is not down at the bar. And the place of God's blessings is not down at the house of ill repute. And the place of God's blessings is not down at some drug house someplace. The place of God's blessings is right where God wants us to be. The question is, are you there? Are you there? Let's bow our heads, please. Abraham was blessed because he was there, right where God wanted him to be. The disciples had divine fellowship because they were right where God wanted them to be. You and I can have eternity with Christ if you will come to the place where God wants you to be, and that's salvation. And today, my friends, now's the accepted time. Now is the time to be where God wants you to be. Today, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, He's willing to save if you'll meet Him at the cross. If you'll come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm lost. I need a Savior. And if you're willing to repent of your sins and trust Christ, He's willing to save. It's not your baptism and it's not your church membership and it's not your good deeds that'll wash your sins away. It's only the blood of Jesus Christ. Plus nothing, minus nothing. I hope you will be where God wants you to be. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray that You'd help us today. Help us, Lord, to be exactly where You would want us to be. At the place of salvation. At the place of sanctification. At the place of service. And at the place of sacrifice, that we as Thy people may receive the blessings and the promises and the benefits of Your presence. Guide and direct. Bless this invitation we give to Thee in Jesus' name. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, as the piano plays through a verse of invitation, this morning we invite you to come. Maybe the Lord has been speaking to you this morning. There is a place at the altar with your name on it. I wonder if you'll meet the Lord there. He wants to meet with you. Christian, would you come? And dear friend, listen, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, He wants you to meet with Him. He wants you to meet with Him. Would you come? This morning. Let's all stand, please. Turn to hymn number 390. Hymn number 390. Let's sing that together.
I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus, who died upon the cruel tree? To think of His great sacrifice at Calvary, I know my Lord expects the best from me. How many are the lost that I have lifted? How many are the chained I've helped to free? I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus when He has done so much for me?
Amen. Let's bow forward in prayer, please. Lord, I do pray that You'd help us, Lord, to understand that there is a place that You will bless. And Lord, there is a place where Your presence will be felt. And Lord, there is a place in our lives where You will meet that divine need in our life. Help us, Lord, to be there. Help us, Lord, to cast off the works of darkness, Lord, and follow You with all of our heart. That You might be with us and be our God, and we might be Thy people. I pray, Lord, that You'd just help us, Lord, to be the type of Christians, Lord, that You'd want us to be. And Lord, help us to be faithful. When the world is vying for our attention, help us, Lord, to put You first in all that we say and do. Now, Father, we do ask and pray that You'd help us to be back tonight. We might hear more about Thee and Thy blessed book. Thank You, Lord, for Your presence today. Thank You, Lord, for Your word and for these people that came out to listen to Your word preached. I pray, Lord, You bless them. Lord, create a desire in all of our hearts for Thee and for the things of God, we pray. Be with those that could not be with us because of traveling or because of illness. And Lord, bring us back again at the next appointed hour. We ask it all in Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed. Choir practice is at 5:00. See you tonight.